This morning, let's read, turn to Genesis 3, and I'm going to read now from chapter 3, 1 to 13. And the version I'm going to read is an NIV version, so but you can still use the Bible that you have. So, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desire for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with him, and he ate too. Then the eyes of the both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from that tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So yesterday, Pastor Sam share a message from the book of Mark about the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and asking, you know, how you can have eternal life. And Pastor Sam shared yesterday about this as being a matter of faith, really the trust that you have in God, that it is not the worldly thing that you hold, it's not the worldly possession that is your object of faith. Your object of faith is God. So this morning, I would like to trace back to the history and see how man actually lost their right to eternal life. And that happened in Genesis 3. Again, a lot of time people will say that when, you know, this is like where the fall of man, where because man disobeyed God's commandment, and as a result, they lost their eternal life. But if we look at the text carefully, again, you will realize it's not just obedient. It's a matter of trust, not trusting God's word, not trusting what God tells you is the truth. God tells Adam, if you eat the fruit, you will surely die. And they didn't believe God, and they ate the fruit. So before we go into chapter 3 more in depth, I'd like to bring you back to chapter 2, 15 to 17, where when the God actually in verse 16, the commandment was given to Adam. By the way, a lot of people blame woman being the culprit, leading man to be astray. I want to correct that. It's not. Because the commandment actually was given to Adam before Eve was even created. So don't blame the woman. Don't just blame the woman, I would say. So if we look at verse 16, Lord command to the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die." Okay, so what's happening here is that we have a scene where that a crafty serpent, a lot of time we will equate it to be the voice of the Satan, telling us lie or trying to deceive us. So hopefully this morning when we look through this passage, we will see how Satan is in operation in the real life. So let's look at verse 1. When the serpent first what he did is sitting a seed of doubt to what the truth of God is. And he, on top of that, if you look at the first verse, that the first sentence that Satan used is like, "Did God really say this?" So he's planting a seed of doubt in it. Did God really say that? And also very careful is like, did God, the word God here, if you read from Genesis 1 all the way through, always when God is being described in the Bible, it's always Lord God, the only one God, the covenant God. But here, the first thing that Satan does is to reduce the authority of God, telling you that God is not the most important person in your life. He's not your object of faith. His authority is not that great. So the first thing that Satan did here is to try to minimize the authority that God has in man's life. And then he casts doubt and asks this crazy question. It's like, you cannot eat all trees. In a way, it's like he's testing how much we really know God's word. If we have another picture, that's when Jesus was being tempted in the desert for 40 days. Satan also used a very similar tactic. Is he's using the Bible. And because Jesus really knows God's word, he can answer it back. And here we know that. Notice that the woman when the woman answered, it's like, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you die. But if we go back into verse chapter 2:16, we will know that God did not say you cannot touch the fruit. It just say you cannot eat, you shall not eat from it, because otherwise you will die. So sometimes, a lot of time, we're putting obligation on ourselves and claim that it's from God. And we have this twisted image on who God is. We have these pictures of God being so harsh. But a lot of time it's distorted. And sure enough that Satan tests the water, I know that, you know. Here, two things could happen. One is either Adam did not relay the message correctly. Or the second part is that Adam was the whole time was with Eve. Because later on in the verse it say, the woman who was with me the whole time. So he was there and he didn't correct. So either that Adam actually got the wrong message himself too, or he just stand there and not correcting. And as we continue to look at the conversation between Satan and woman, you will see that most of the things that Satan hear is true. If you look through the context, verse 5, for God know that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. So regarding we eat the food or not, we already like God. So he's not lying. Knowing the good and evil. At this time, everything is good. God created everything to be good. Until man stumble, that's where evil come in into the world. And so Satan here is not lying. It's like, yes, your eyes will be open, because that's when evil come in. It's when you eat the tree, when you disobey. And the only sentence that I look through the text is, only sentence that is not true is that when Satan say you will surely not die. A lot of time, you know, we will rationalize. Things seem to be very reasonable at time. And Satan's very crafty, and he will use half-truth, and you got deceived. And so hopefully, I hope this message really just give us some insight. It's sometime that those lies are under disguise that seem so reasonable, but then when you counter-check with the Word of God, then you realize that this is not true. And so I guess, like, you know, the moral of the story here is you really have to know God's word. And that is why time and time again in the Bible, God asks us to meditate, chew on his word, and grave it in our heart. Because without that knowledge, even when Satan come in with the lies, you wouldn't be able to discern it. And the next point that I'm going to also want to highlight here is that sometimes when we stumble and we make mistake, there's temptation in the world, there's different voices. Obviously, there's different voices. There's voice from the Satan trying to tempt you away from God. Also, your own voices telling you that. If we look at Eve's response before she take that action to take that fruit from the tree, it say she look at the fruit is good for eat for food. It's pleasing to the eyes, and it also give her wisdom. In many ways, if you look through the Genesis very carefully, and you will know that all the fruit on the tree is good for food. So it doesn't make this tree very special. But a lot of time we focus on what we don't have and ignore what we have. God has provided a lot of things for us in our life, but a lot of time we look at what we don't have. Sometimes, you know, especially when we are very tired, depressed, and we will focus on the things that we don't have, and we forget about the abundance things that God placed in our life. For example, friends that is in our life. For example, sometimes, you know, as a lot of example is like, you know, the father's approval or your parents' approval may not approve you doing certain thing, and you... maybe I'm going all over the place, but sometimes that we're seeking one thing and we forgot that all the other good things that already in place for you to comfort you, to bring you to a new, next new levels. So, and also sometimes that, you know, when temptation comes, we give us ourselves excuse as well. You know, oh, it's really good. It's good for food and all this. Give all this excuse, but in reality, it's not good for you. And we know it because God tells us so. But then we choose to not to believe in Him. And as we say that, you know, the core issue here is the trust issue. So if we look at this passage and quickly, you know, look at what application that we can get out of the passage, is one thing that we do have to examine is, who is God to you? Is He just a God, just any God, like Satan said, did that? That just any God, or he is the Lord of your God, Lord of your life. That the decision that you make is centered on God, and not so much is me. If you look at what Eve was saying here, is that she wants to be like God. Before he ate. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when she saw it, and she think it would give her wisdom. And He is not just be like God, but to a sense that we want to be God. Just don't forget that we are created to be like God, but we are not created to be God. And so I think that's where the position where we are. And the other thing that also come into how we can counter all these lies from the enemy early on, I said about is know the word of God, because we're so much blessed than Eve, because we have the Bible tell us a lot of things, that the wisdom come from the fear of God and not from the tree, that eating that fruit from the tree. Eve didn't have that knowledge, but we do. And so really encourage you guys to, you know, to meditate on it, because it's so rich in it. The other thing is that if we in doubt, we can always talk to God, and don't forget that, you know, you have Holy Spirit dwell in you, and these are the resources that you have. So you don't have to be on your own finding out a solution to your problem, to your temptation, using your own effort. You tap into God's resources, and it's within you already. The other thing is a good accountability partner. If Adam has said anything earlier, at any point of time, that corrected Eve, this whole thing might not happen. Perhaps, you know, Adam also was in doubt too, thinking, you know, what God said might not true. And we see it in the picture is Adam saw Eve ate the apple and Eve didn't die. And so he ate too. So a lot of time, I think it's good that we have a community church that we are at different pace in our walk with God. And sometimes our brothers and sisters are at a different point of time that they are being cast in doubt, or maybe they're not sure where they are, and there's a different level of maturity, right? So being a good brother and sisters, if you see that, you know, your brother and sisters is having some, you know, perhaps not so corrected understanding about God, do step in and say something. Of course, do it with wisdom, do it with love, and not just pointing at fingers. Talking about pointing at fingers, one illustration that someone gave me is very helpful. It always helped me to remember. Is, you know, when we're a little child and we're playing shooting games, we would do this sign, right? We're pointing a finger, shooting at people. We're blaming on God. So when something bad happened, we point our fingers at other people. We blame God. He's the one who bring the woman next to me, give me the apple. So we're blaming God. But in reality, it's three things. We actually, who's at fault at most is ourselves. That we have at any point of time have the choice to say no, to correct it. So when we try to blame someone, the bad thing happened, and we try to blame someone, first thing we examine is ourselves. Possibly we are the most to blame. So I think this illustration really helped me every time when I try to point the finger at people. And so I hope that helped you too. The other thing from the Bible here is that when bad things happen, or when you fall into sin or temptation, and you know that you're doing things that is not pleasing to God, don't hide yourself from God, because He is your solution. He is your way out. He is the one that who can deliver you, give you better options. Here that we notice that is every time that when we sin, we have this tendency of shame and we hide ourselves. But God always there to seeking you out. God is all-knowing. Of course, He knows what's happening here, but He didn't abandon Adam and Eve. He go to them and ask, where are you guys? Where are you? And I think it's God never give up on any one of us. So when those voices come to you, do respond and don't keep on hiding yourself. And when I was looking at this passage about this part about God's love, I was reminded with another passage when Peter was asking Jesus, you know, how many times do we forgive people? And Jesus was saying 7 times 77 times, which translated into is like you forgive them unlimited times. If God teaches us to forgive other people unlimited time, it means that God also forgive us unlimitedly. So, of course, I'm not saying that you can abuse this privilege that God's always forgive, but really go before God with repentance heart. Really go, and I know that, you know, we stumble. Maybe we struggle with the same issue over and over again. But I do sincerely believe that, you know, each time if we stumble, we go before God, it will get better each time. And God is the one that who is going to take us through and overcome it. And also God have a better solutions. When men come in, they feel shame, they use fig leaves to cover themselves. Of course, it's not as durable as the animal skin. And the really touching part here is that God is coming in and make the skin for them. So, you know, when you fall and things happen in your life, go before God and don't have a hide from Him. And He always have a better solution than you and me. So this morning, I want to spend a little time, maybe we worship a little bit first. Yeah, before we pray.
This is the air. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you, Lord. I'm desperate for you. And I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence for you, and I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you.
To call out to you, Lord, and to ask, Lord, that, you know, help us to realize that if we indeed are lost without you, Lord, that we cannot go one day without you, Lord, that you are our daily bread. And I just pray that, you know, we know that we're hungry for you, because a lot of time we fill with a lot of junk food and in our life, and we're not eating properly, and we become so malnutrition. And Lord, that our life depends upon you, not just our spiritual life, that because we are spiritual being and we do need you. And Father God, I just call out that do us realize that we are hungry for you, Lord, that do us realize, help us to realize that you are the only one who can feed us, Lord, and your word, Lord. I just pray that, you know, your word becomes so beautiful to us that when we read the Bible, we just know that who you are and how you created us and how we're supposed to be, because you are the creator, Lord. And Father, Lord, that show us how beautiful that your word is. And I pray that, you know, give us this joy. So when we look into the word, when we interact with you, we know that this is where we are most fulfilled, Lord, is when we are with you. And I really pray that, Father, Lord, that, you know, every day we are bombarded with the message. And sometimes a lot of time, the message is really subtle. And those messages really come to you. And we didn't even know that. And that's why we need you to help us, Lord, to help us to reveal to us, like, you know, how to understand your word better and have those words engraved in our heart so that we can go about our business every day and knowing where we stand and not be tempted so easily, not be distracted so easily, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for each one of my sister here, Lord, a brother and sister here, and ask that, Lord, that speak to each one of us, engrave your word in their heart, Lord. This morning, I would like to invite you guys to pray, not just focus on ourselves, but really praying for the brothers and sisters around you, for those that who are living in doubt, who are not quite fully grasp the truth. We are a work in progress. I wouldn't proclaim that I know all the truth yet, but it's a process, and I just pray that, you know, God, show us a picture of a person that is around us that really needs you. And brother and sister, I just ask that invite you to pray for that person. And so that person will not be lost in this world, in this world. Father God, we also ask that, Lord, that, you know, when you bring a person into my brother and sister mind, that for them to intercede, to pray for that person. I also pray that my brothers and sisters hear that they do receive from you how to, you know, speak to the truth into that person's life, how to do it with wisdom and also with courage, Lord, because telling someone that correcting someone is difficult and has to be a lot of love involved as well. So I just ask, Lord, that give my brothers and sisters a lot of love and wisdom. And if it's not ready yet, give them the heart of intercessions to pray for that person, because we know you love each one of us and that why you put us together in this community of faith, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that we do trust in you. We don't take your word lightly, Lord. Also this morning, let's pray for various brothers and sisters that are all over the world now be a missionary, or like Kenny in Japan, Fabi and her team in Mexico, and also YWAM for their Christmas outreach, and also there's a couple, John Lee and our brothers going to Bhutan for possibly sport ministry. So let's lift these missions and outreach in our prayers too. Finally, let's pray also continue for God's provisions for new premises for our church. Father God, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. Lord, that I just pray that, you know, the commandment that you gave unto Joshua and Israel and be light in your word. I pray that each one of us truly found delight, found the joy and soaking in your word, Lord. And may your word not to depart from our mouth. And we meditate day and night, and seeing the preciousness of you that is contained in this word. And Holy Spirit, continue to operate in us. I know that we went into a time of intercession, and surely it's not enough because we're talking about life. And I just pray that this heart of intercessions continue to stay in our heart as we go about our business, and as we see our fellow brother and sister in workplace or the people that we come into contact. Give us wisdom, Lord, how to stand in the gap, how to preach the truth that you have in place our heart. And there's anything that in our walk, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, reveal to us and help us to not to blame others, but come before you, always come before you, because you have better solutions, Lord. And thank you so much, Lord. And we love you and pray all this in Jesus' name.